where you are, Expert Talk with me, Tego. And I'm so glad that you're here. Now, you know, I love bringing experts that share their journey and give us little golden nuggets along the way to help us with our journey. And I say us because I'm fighting through it too. And as always, I bring really special people to the show, and today is no different. Today we have LaFaya Mitchell. And now what you guys are gonna hear is we're gonna start doing stuff the LaFaya way. Now, if you've been talking about how do I deal with all the stresses in my life, and I've got a teenage son that I'm trying to deal with, I know what that is. I've got, you know, teenage grandson, and he thinks he's going on 30. If you're wondering how family values fit into everything to deal with business, if you're thinking, well, I can't be a mom or a dad and also start a business, I think LaFaya is going to disagree with you for that one. So today is all about family. You want to be here. Trust me. Sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is brought to you in part by PodNation TV, the podcast to broadcast network. Expert Talk is produced and distributed by Melrose 11 LLC. Lights, cameras, take action with Melrose 11.
Hello. Happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. You know, we had the privilege of being introduced by our friend, Colleen Mayer, Dr. Colleen Mayer, who connected us. And I'm so glad she did. She is like both of our biggest cheerleaders.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, LaFaya, everybody's talking about doing everything the LaFaya way, but in reality, you're a counselor?
Yes, by trade. I'm a marriage and family therapist, licensed marriage and family therapist, LMFT. And what I've done over the years is I've taken what I call my gifting, because I have no other way to explain it. I've been helping people for years, doing it the LaFaya way now, I've learned, right? I've taken that and now I've created a philosophy that people can follow. It's, there are four core steps. There's a strategic approach to getting the connectivity that you want in relationships, and I'm teaching it to everybody now.
Wait, there's a four-step process to getting the connectivity you want in relationships. Now, you're talking about relationships in business, in your romantic relationships, in your marriage, or are you talking about children? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about in your relationships, in your relationship with you and you, your relationship with you and your kids, your relationship in your business. If you're a leader in your business, some in management position, I will teach you how to have ultimate influence over your employees, relationship with you and your dog, relationships, period. Like, this is magic right here. Like, this, seriously, the LaFaya way, that it's it. It's the way, the pathway to any good relationship.
See, now I want to jump right into that, but that wouldn't be right. Come on, y'all. I know you want to know. I want to know too. But hold on. We need to know her story. We got to figure out how she got here. She didn't get up this morning and just knew this. She had to work her way here. So hold on. Stick with me. Okay. Let's back up. We'll get to the four step. I promise. But what made you decide to take the journey in the first place to be licensed and doing the things that you love to do today? How did that happen?
Now, you know, you just asked a question that I could take 50 years to answer. Being here that long. Yeah, look. But anyway, okay. So the decision to start to move into the area of psychology anyway, okay, I'll start there, was not one that I made at first. I was kind of myself a little bit, you know, or a lot of bit hypersensitive, had my own issues. You know, like everybody always says, oh, therapists, they got issues, right? They're psychologists, they all got issues. I did. I'm not gonna lie. And so, but when I went to school and I started to take those psychology classes, even though I thought I was trying to be a nurse, which I'm glad that went away. But when I went to school and I started to take these, I took the psych 101 class, you know, general education requirements.
Yeah,
and I was like, I took that class. I was like, ooh, I was like, this stuff is interesting. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take another one like that one, right? And so I took that once after I took my second psych class, that was it. I was sold. I was like, yep, I'm about whatever major I need to get into to do this, that's what I'm gonna do. So that's how I started with the whole idea of psychology anyway.
Wow. Okay, wait. So before you took that class, you were already in college. So you already had an idea. You said you thought about nursing. You're glad you did not go down the nursing route. I understand that. But when let's go back a little bit further. Let's go back to maybe Lafayette 10, 12, 15. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so when I was younger, I grew up very, very, very poor. So the best model I had was my mom. She was a secretary. So when I was younger, I wanted to be a secretary. I thought, ooh, I could be a secretary, you know, and I can go work for people. And I thought that was glamorous and good. I'm glad I didn't do that either. But I wanted to be a secretary. I was teaching myself how to type and doing all that kind of stuff. And then it was like, I didn't really have the capacity, I don't think, to dream very big because I just didn't see very big things. Most people that I saw, they were like on welfare. You know, back then I'll come from the food stamp days, you know, and all that. Going to the store, running to the store to get a 5 cent Charleston chew and some 10 cent now later. Those are the days.
Okay. See, now I remember before then when it was cheaper than that. You talking 5 cents, I'm talking a penny. Okay.
Ooh, I missed that one.
We can go back. We can go back to the welfare cheese. You know, they made the best grilled cheese sandwiches in the world.
Right.
They made the welfare cheese. I don't know who made welfare cheese. I don't know what brand it was, but whoever you are, especially if you're crap, y'all need to bring that back. It don't need to be welfare cheese, but you need to put it back in the show. Best grilled cheese sandwiches in the world. See, now I'm hungry. See what you did to me?
Me too. You did it.
It's just wrong. Okay. Now look, you wanted to be a secretary because that's what your mom did. You end up going to college, which, you know, a lot of people never get that opportunity to go to college. So you end up going to college. This means you've catapulted past the secretary. You said you thought about nursing and you changed your mind. What made you change your mind about nursing?
Oh, okay. So I had the worst reason ever for changing my mind about work nursing. I found out that we had to like get practice shots done on our own bodies by other nursing students. After I found that out, I was good on a nursing. And then I didn't even consider the fact that I don't like body to touch bodily fluids, smell them, see them. I don't like to eat it. I would have been so bad at the whole nursing thing. So it was just something that as I grew up, that was kind of the most successful person I saw too. Were the nurses. I was like, oh, okay, the nurses, they seem like they make pretty good money. They have nice houses, you know, those kind of things. Coming from, just a quick share, I was a teen mom. Mm-hmm. And so I had already had my son by the time I turned 17. I was like barely 17, had my son, finished out my senior year. And then what I had decided was this kid is not going to grow up anything like I did. I have to do something different. So that's what led me to school. Like school was my hustle. Like back in the day, if you had a kid, like you could get like all kinds of financial aid and all that. And I was all about trying to figure out how to motivate some extra money, whether it was go through school, write for different scholarships, whatever. I was trying to motivate.
So people are at home, young people may be at home, or maybe somebody who's in their 20s, in their 30s. They've always wanted to be a family counselor. They've always wanted... Maybe they had a class, you know, had a little bit of psychology and said, ooh, this could be fun. How would they get started? Where do they start if they want to be in your, you know, field of excellence?
Okay, now for me, there are many ways to get to the same place and space. The ultimate place that you want to start is by making a decision. Once you make a decision and you start creating your plan and you start writing it out and you start saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do, that even if somebody else told you that you couldn't, I was told that I would, after I ended up pregnant at 16, I was told that I wasn't going to never be nothing. That was the spit. I couldn't believe that I was being told this. The person that told me this, I told them I would be more than, no, I'm sorry, I didn't say it out loud. I thought in my mind, she would have probably slapped me with my auntie. I thought in my mind that, you know, I'm going to be more than you've ever been. And, you know, so really, quite honestly, it doesn't matter where you come from, trust and believe. I've come from a lot of But it doesn't matter where you come from. If you make a decision and you have that determination and you're willing to take all that energy that you've probably been putting into keeping your life miserable and you start putting that into doing what it is you truly want to do with your life, you'll get there. You'll get there.
Now, you have children. I know you have a daughter. You mentioned you have a son. Yeah. And, you know, what happens? In your mind, do they have to go to college? If they come to you and they say, I want to do that school thing, Mom. I just want to start this business, or I want to get certified as a welder and just be, you know, a welder and work my way up. Have you decided, nope, my children are going to college because I went to college, or are you going to give them that freedom?
My kids get to be free. What I've taught them their entire lives is be all of who you are. Now, if you're going to be a welder, be the best one there is out there, though, because you have good genes. So you got to put the best of everything out there. We're not playing with none of that. So don't be weak. If you're going to be a painter, be a painter. Like, be everything that everybody thinks that something in that field should be. My oldest son, he decided he didn't want to go to college. He said, it's not for me, right? But he works his butt off. He works his butt off in every place that when he goes to a place, they know. They're like, oh yeah, Rob, he's our hardest worker. He's our this, he's our that. He's the best at everything. He knows it all, right? And for my two younger, now I have to tell you, my oldest, he's 28, he'll be 29 this year. Oh, whew, I'm old. But anyway. Anyway, he'll be 29 this year. I'm aging myself. But anyway, he kind of grew up with me. So he got a whole different me. So he got me that still had very, very poor mentality. He had me who had very, very poor means, actually, at first, right? Mm-hmm. And as I grew and as time went by, then our means became more. I had my other two 10 years after the first one I had 10 years after I had him. So they had an entirely different experience and understanding about how the world works. And they're very different children. They can't, now they're the types, they're like, they can't even imagine not going to college. They're like, why wouldn't I go to college? That's how you know, work smarter.
That's amazing. Okay, so before we get into, because we're going to go to break, before we go to break and come back and tell the four steps, because I know you're going to get to the point. I want to know the four steps. Hold on. We're going to come back from break and talk about that. But first, I got to ask LaFaya, what about kids that are out there because they don't have the blessing or the luck to have a parent that is a leader that's showing them the way, but they still have that drive? They're going, I'm not going to be unemployed. I'm not going to work at McDonald's for the rest of my life. I'm not going to do any of that. I want to be X. Where would they go to find, you know, a little help, a little leadership in their community?
Well, I mean, I would say that you just look for resources. You start to Google is wonderful. I didn't have that when I was younger, but Google nowadays is beautiful. You can look for resources to help with school funding. You can look for all kinds of stuff. If you're Black or African-American, whatever you like to be called, but if you're Black, then you need to understand there's a lot of free money out there to go to school. You would find the right books, the right little scholarship books. It'll be scholarships out there specifically for you to write in and say, hey, give this to me, that a lot of people aren't out there getting that free money. Just know there's a way. Like there are government assistance, and you don't have to get loans. You can get grants, and you can get Pell Grants and Cal Grant A's and B's and all that fantastic stuff that you don't have to pay back. But there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got grandchildren, so I'm writing down what you said and making sure, you know, this is important. I didn't know. Let me get that down, because that's something that people need to understand. You know, I was one of those children that I went in the Navy when I got out of high school. But the main reason I went, one, I wanted to go. And two, you know, we were told my parents didn't make enough money to pay for me to go to college, but they made too much money, you know, to get certain programs. So I just went in the military to know that, and it's not my first time hearing it, to know that there are programs out there, but you got to dig for them. They're not standing on the street corner waving a flag at you, correct?
No, but the kids nowadays, you are super lucky in that, like I said, Google search. Keep Google search until you figure it out. Keep asking people about it. Reach out to your community organizations that assist maybe those underserved communities and all that. It's all out there. You just have to kind of, you have to put a little effort in to find it. That's all.
All right, so we're going to go to break because I don't want the hate mail to come. They want to know these four steps. We're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk about, you got other stuff on the horizon. You're expanding your reach. You're flying now. You got your wings out. So let's take a quick break before I get in trouble. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about that. So sit right there. We'll be right back. Okay, thank you for coming back. I know you guys are ready to just send me all kinds of hate mail, but here comes the four steps. So let's catch up with LaFaya and find out, what are these four steps you're talking about?
Okay. Oh, man. Are you ready for these, man? Because I have to tell you, some people, they're not ready. You got to be ready. Okay. So now, I'll start out with, because I want to give you guys a little bit of background on why the four steps. Because, and the reason that I give people is for the four steps is that there's this thing that we all do as human beings called emotion soaking. It's the unintentional sponging of the feeling energies of other people. And when you have that negative space within yourself, that negative feeling energy, and you're not being true to yourself, I'll get to it all, okay? But if you have that going on for yourself, then what ends up happening is you end up hindering your ability to have as much influence as you can have in certain situations. But if you get to understanding the LaFaya way, these four steps, these core four, and I always tell people, these four things are the ingredients that you need. Like, you would need to make a cake, you need all the right ingredients, or you're gonna get a nasty or an ugly cake. If you follow these four core, then you will end up with beautiful relationships, peaceful relationships, the things that you're looking for in your at your core. That's why I like to call them the core four, by the way, because these are your core values, your core desires. Most times to have peace and feel love and feel like you're getting along, camaraderie, right? All that is what you're looking for in relationships. Okay. So before I get started, I had to let you know that emotion soaking piece is a huge piece of it, because that's what leads us to step one. Okay. Step one is, let me make it easier for you too. I use the acronym FUR, okay? Like boost with the fur. It's not a fur with one R, it's a fur with a whole bunch of R's. So it's FUR.
I love it.
Okay, because I know where I came from. Boost with the fur is, and a lot of you know that song too, don't play. And so, but the first step is to find your calm. If you do not find your calm when you're interacting with another person, especially with someone in your family who we're going to be the most sensitive with, right? Because I always say these are great for hypersensitive people or situations, okay? Even if it's you, the hypersensitive person, okay? So find your calm. People always laugh at me and they say, well, how am I supposed to find my calm? Like, did I lose it like under the bed? Like, is it in a closet? I'm like, stop laughing. But it's funny because I get into the fine because oftentimes we lose it. We lose our cool, and we're not where we need to be in order to get the best results. So okay. I give a lot of tips and tricks on how to find your calm. Number one being the ultimate being self-care, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to feel taken care of by others. If you're not taking good care of yourself, you're not going to react in good ways, in positive and helpful ways. So find your calm has a lot in it. So we'll give you the resources for getting all the details about all the, get in depth about it. But find your calm is one. Step two.
Hold on. I got a question about number one. Hold on.
Sorry.
And I know now. They're like, he was almost a two. But I got to ask this question. You know, I was always taught that you don't miss what you never had. You know, and I know a lot of people that have been in very stressful situations, what feels like their entire lives. You know, the cesspool of stress is what they think is normal. Mm-hmm. So how do you know to find your calm if you don't even know you don't have your calm? You don't even know what that is. How do you figure that out?
Okay, one of the best ways to figure out whether or not you truly have your calm, which I'm going to say this, a lot of people think that they have it when they're saying something quietly or nicely, mm-hmm. or, you know, they're trying to say the right words and do all that. Those are actually some of my worst offenders. It's almost easier for me to work with those who know they're going off, right? Okay. For those who don't, you're trying to speak calmly, but on the inside, internally, you're not feeling the greatest. So we right. know what it feels like when we feel upset. Like, we may have a set point of upset, but we know what it feels like when we feel like, if you tune in to what's going on with yourself internally, you know that feeling that comes up in the stomach when you're feeling irritated or sad or upset about something. Or for some, I always call it the dragon effect for me personally, because it starts from the stomach, but it kind of builds its way up. And by the time it's around the heart area or gets up in here, you're about ready to breathe some fire, right? And so, but the way that you know is tune into your own physical, your own physiology. What's going on with you? Like, what are my body cues right now? Is my heart starting to beat kind of fast? If your heart's starting to beat, our bodies will tell us when we're upset, by the way. So even when people think they're calm, you can feel that heartbeat going real hard, you know, like harder than it would in a calm moment, right? Yeah. you're not at sleeping rate, you know, when your heart's pounding like that. But some of it is that, some of it is you run, you know, when you're upset, when you run a little bit hotter than you usually do. You know, when you're upset, when everything's tense. Like, I always tell people, check in. Always try to check in. Because sometimes you'll be all tense and you won't even know it. Like, you're upset with a person, your fist balled up, you don't even know. But mm-hmm. they can feel it coming from you, which is oftentimes, and what's our biggest sign is the response that we're getting from the other person. If we're getting a negative response from another person, now they may have started out negative. I'm going to tell you that now. They may have started out negative, but then when you respond to them, you have to keep yourself from emotion. So you have to keep yourself from taking on a little bit of that feeling energy that they have going on. As human beings, right. we tend towards taking that in. It's a protective mechanism. Because say, if this person over here is running, there's a dinosaur coming, you need to feel all that so you can feel the same need to run too. So there's a reason that our bodies react, you know, do all that, because we need to be responsive. But these things continue to be in place whether we're actually in literal physical danger or not. Sometimes it's the danger of not having that connection or relationships that you want. Sometimes it's a danger of being unhappy, but our bodies will still, and our brains will still read it as real danger, Will Roberts, like Rogers, you know, we need some help here, right? And so pay attention to your bodies, pay attention to how other people are responding to you, and that'll tell you a lot.
Okay, that answered that. Okay, now here we go. Number two.
Okay, so now you have to bear with me because I can talk about these things all day. I try to cut it off, but okay. The you in the first, okay? Step two is understand the real truth. Now, okay. I put real in quotes because most people do not. Most people are reacting to things that are not based in any form of truth, oftentimes for either themselves or the person that they're dealing with. I always mm-hmm. love to share with people that one of the simplest ways to understand the real truth is to do that halt check-in that they do through the 12 steps program, that hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Check mm-hmm. in with yourself first, because if you're highly reactive to another person, sometimes you have to pay attention. Would I always be highly reactive? Or if I had lunch, maybe I might feel a little bit better about what's happening in the situation, right? Or if I wasn't extra tired, if I got enough rest last night, would I really want to be yelling at them immediately as soon as they did? Right? So that hungry, angry, lonely, tired checking is really good for self and others. It's because sometimes you have that kid or that spouse or that coworker or whomever that they just need a dang snack, or, you know, they need to get more rest or something. And mm-hmm. that keeps us from personalizing what the other person is doing when we understand the real truth. Either it keeps us from personalizing on the one end what they're doing, and it keeps us from taking ourselves and our own reactivity too seriously. So when we talk about understanding, there are many components to understanding the real truth. Some of it is, like I said, understanding what's going on right there in the moment for real, but also understanding where your triggers are. Like, how are you triggered? Are you often triggered in certain circumstances? Like for parents, if you felt bullied throughout your lifetime, you have a kid that's extra, you know, angry or whatever, then it might bring up all kinds of stuff for your kid to be upset about something, because it may seem like they're trying to challenge you or bully you. Right. So when you have stuff like that, old triggers, you have to be understanding of that. You have to understand other people's old trauma. there's a lot of things that is important for you to get into understanding the real truth, so that then when your, say, child doesn't clean their room when you ask them to, for example, you don't make that about them not caring about you, them not appreciating anything it is you've ever done. You don't make it about things that it's not. Because when you make it about things that it's not, then what you do is you strip yourself of your own ability to influence, because they're going to think, okay, I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, it wasn't even going down like that. Like, I just don't like cleaning my room, right? And so when you're dealing with them on some stuff that's not based in truth, then what happens is you make yourself untrustworthy for one, you make yourself overreactive to the other person for two, and you yourself will get more upset about the situation if you're not dealing in the real truth.
Wow, that's powerful. That you is powerful. Okay, so I'm ready. Come on, number three.
Step three, my first R. That's going to no. So my first R is respond in alignment with your truest intentions. Now I had to pause on that respond because the LaFell way, it has evolved. So, because it used to be, I called it react in alignment, in accordance with your truest intentions. But now I understand better that responses is what we're looking for. We're looking for people to proactively create a situation where now they're going to be the ones in control of how they respond, as opposed to kind of being puppeteered about and reacting to what other people are doing. So I'm very excited about that evolution. But responding according to your truest intentions, if you haven't noticed it by now, each of the steps, like I said, like it does with the, putting the cake together, the ingredients, they work together. So they're not necessarily like you have to do them in a certain order. You have to work them all in, okay? So when you respond in alignment with your truest intentions, you're going to know, what are my core values? What is it that I'm searching to get out of relating to this person? So even with coworkers and such, you don't have to love that person. See, I've only spoken from the home so far. You don't have to love that person, but you also don't want to work in an environment where you're feeling very unhappy to be around a person every day. So you do still want peace. Like, fundamentally, we tend to want peace in the place that we work, peace in the place that we live, right? And so when you're responding in alignment with your truest intentions, then you're going to come with those peaceful responses. Now, I don't tell you to do these things, okay, without giving you some on how to, some how to's. I like tangibility. So when you're responding, in order to respond in alignment with your truest intentions, first of all, you have to understand what those are. That's, again, getting into understanding the real truth. But then you have to make your responses in line with those. So if you want peace, then you're not bringing upset to upset. So if someone comes to you upset, they're yelling, they have all this attitude or problem or whatever. When you're understanding the real truth, then the real truth is people desire to have peace where they are. So if this person is creating a situation with me where they're not going to have the peace that they desire, they work against themselves, right? This is an understanding of the real truth. They're working against themselves so that you don't personalize. Remember, we have to work on not personalizing. But then when they're coming with that, you know, raw, whatever they got going on, then you have to come with something different, which means you have to kind of find your calm in that moment, understand the real truth. I want peace. I have zero desire to be played like a puppet and pulled into their world. I'm not jumping into that tornado with them. I'm in the land of peace. I was in peace before they got here. I'm going to be in peace when they get here, right? But responding in alignment means now you're practicing things like, okay, this is where I want to be. This is where they are. This is where I want to be. This is where I'm going to stay. So here's a correction for them, okay? So when you're responding in alignment, then you're saying things to them like you're doing, using like the power talk formula, which I absolutely love, which is when you fill in the blank, it causes, and this is a fill in the blank with a reaction that you don't even want yourself, right? And I know that's not your intention. I know that's not your truest intention, if you need to say it that way. Because some people say, oh, they just want to be upset. They want to be fighting. I'm like, okay. The truth is that people desire connectivity. If they're causing that to be broken, then it is something that they are doing that is self-sabotaging to themselves. Because then if that same person is being told later on, they're not liked, they're hurt to no end by that, you know, right? So responding in alignment means you're using when you it causes, and I know that's not your intention, this helps the other person to save face, right? So you're eliminating all defensiveness and all that. I understand that's not your intention. So please do it this way so that you can get more of what you want. So when you, pretty simply, when you yell at me, okay, it causes me to, you know, depending on the person, because, you know, it could be slapping, but it causes me reaction you don't want, right? Well, it causes me to want to either I need to yell at you back, which neither of us are trying to have happen, or I need to go alert someone that you're behaving inappropriately. It causes me to feel the need to, you know, find the way to get this resolved because I'm not trying to fight with you. And I know that's not your intention. I know you're not looking for a report to be made on you or for somebody to be going off on you. I know that that can't be it. So can you please try saying that to me in a lower tone so that I can actually process what it is you're saying to me? Or it could even be when you yell at me, I can't process what you're saying to me because now I'm defensive. Okay? And I know that's not your intention. Clearly you want me to hear you because you think your volume is going to make a difference in that. So please lower your volume so I can actually tune in to what you're saying to me. Right?
Wow. That's amazing. That's powerful. That's powerful. Okay, I'm scared to ask, but number four.
Okay, now my fourth step, okay? My fourth step is what I call my three R's. Not getting those short-term results, but you're getting those long-term results that you're looking for. You're not looking to solve a problem in 1 second and have the same problem 3 seconds later. You're looking for some long-term results. Three R's are going to give that to you. The three R's are to, first of all, recognize the small step differences. When you work the first three steps, trust and believe, they're going to be, even if they're minuscule, they're going to be small differences. You need to recognize those right away because you need to put energy into, which is my second R, reinforce. You need to reinforce it highly. Recognize the small step changes, reinforce them highly because you want to start putting energy into the things that you want. Many people put too much energy into the things that they don't want and they wonder why they're getting more of it. They're putting too much momentum into what they don't want. But if you start putting your energies into the things that you do want, which is what, even if it's that small step difference, I don't care if a person used to scream and yell and cry for an hour before, right? Or even let's say a whole day before, they'd be almost in there all day, right? And then it titrated down to an hour. They only did that stuff for an hour when they used to do it all day. So you have to recognize that right away. Reinforce it highly, be like, oh, you know what? You used to scream for hours about this kind of thing, you know, and this time you were able to kind of recover and pull it together in just an hour or so. Like, what is it you're doing differently? What helped you with that, right? You want to throw that out there so they can grab, this gives them hope and it gives you hope. So when you see them changing bit by bit, you can be less reactive to what it is they're doing and you can be more in reinforcing of what you want more of. And then they get to see, oh, so people do notice when I change. Cause you know, nothing's worse than changing and nobody's noticing. So you're like, you know, okay, so you know, yeah, I used to have that fit that long, but look, you didn't even see that I recovered much quicker. See, you know what? It doesn't do me any good to try to do any better. So I might as well just do it the same as I was doing it before anyway. Right. That's what you get. Right. So recognize, reinforce highly, and repeat. That's like my rinse and repeat option. You're repeating. You're staying in all four of the steps. You're vacillating through consistently through each interaction and all relationships. When you do that, you will find yourself having excellent relationships, even with people that you thought you never could.
That's amazing. Okay. You blow me away. Whew. I'm sitting here going, I got to have LaFaya in my life. She's got to be there. I need to send my grandchildren, especially the teenager, over to see it. Because you're literally speaking a lot of people's truths. So one, if somebody wants to be a patient or a client of yours, are you taking new clients? And if so, how would they get in touch with you?
Okay, guys, right now in my life, I am moving from that space of one to many. So I've been doing a lot of individual work with families for a really long time. The way to reach me now is going to be in context of what I have in my program, which has group format, but I also plug in for those who want some of that, you know, extra special attention, individualized attention. I give you individual options, but you have to participate in the group element to get to the private options. So unless you want to, you know, of course, of your own volition, pay for what it costs for an entire group. You know, because other than right. that, my goal and my time, I have to use it. I have to maximize how many people, that's my goal, how many people I'm impacting with what it is that I'm doing. Or it's just at this point, it's not, I'm not saying it's not worth my time, but I've already been doing that. And I've already learned from so many people that this is so much a need worldwide that I can't spend a lot of time in individual.
So how do they find out about your group? If they want to be a part of one of your groups, what do they do?
Okay, so best way to reach me in all ways is to go to LaFayetteWay.com. LaFayetteWay.com is your go-to, it's your one-stop shop for every service it is that I provide. I have some services that I'm offering to parents right now. I have services that I offer to organizations. I have organizations that I'm working with. We're doing lots of staff development, leadership trainings, and all of that, because that's how the LaFayetteWay has transformed now. So if you want to find me, go to LaFayetteWay.com. If you're looking for in the parenting options, you look at the PEP program. If you're looking at other service options, then just look under my services options, and you'll find everything it is that you need there.
And you're about to expand your reach in the sense that, you know, you're on the show with me today, but you're kind of working on your own show, correct?
Yes, I'm excited about it too. I had this ongoing segment that I've had going on that I call Q&A the LaFayetteWay. It will have a more clever name, you know, when I start my show, but I already have almost together enough episodes for two separate seasons. So I'm super excited to work with you, Tego, and your crew to get
We're
my
so
stuff
happy
right
to have you.
So that I can get the show out there to everybody so they can see it, so that they can, everybody can start learning the LaFayetteWay.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I want to thank you for being on. You know, when I met you the first time, I started doing things the LaFayetteWay. And, you know, after today, I think one of my grandsons is here today. I think I heard him come in. I might have to go down there and introduce him to the LaFayetteWay 4-step program, because he was having a little bit of a fit. I heard him back there. I want to thank you so much for being on. I want to thank you for being a part of the Pod Nation and her family. We're going to have a blast for many years to come. I definitely know you'll be back on the show, because people are going to have all kinds of questions. Don't worry. We're going to get her to do a Q&A. We're going to do some live stuff so she can answer your questions right then and there. Because like she said, she's working with groups, so she might as well start with ours. Isn't that right, LaFayette?
That's right. Any group, bring it on. And bring your toughest questions, because I love those. Don't come to me weak. Don't come to me with those weak questions. Ask me real questions.
I'm from Chicago. I think she didn't call this out. I thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so excited to have you be here and be a part of the Pod Nation family. This is going to be amazing. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Woo! Now, you guys know how we do. We bring these experts on. They tell us all this great stuff. But LaFayette literally went to the core of who we are as people. Not just entrepreneurs, not just business owners or parents, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, but you, the person. So we're going to have a comeback on a few more times, because she got Tego sitting there going, wait a minute, I do that. I should rethink this. But for now, I want to thank you for being on, for watching the show. I want to thank you for supporting us. I hope you'll be here for the next episode. And as always, I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.